Did the CIA actually target Alex Jones? Owen Troyer is joining us to discuss. 19 brave House Republicans shut down the attempts to reauthorize FISA. One of those brave Republicans, Congressman Tim Burcha, joins us to discuss. Democrats are looking to remake the Summer of Love, and they're using someone who literally shot at police first. Dexter Reed is a new narrative they're pushing, and I'll tell you why you shouldn't trust it. All that and more on The Brianna Morello Show. Happy Thursday, everyone. It's so good to be back home. I'm so glad you all joined us for our week in D.C. It was very, very interesting. We spent a few days in Washington, D.C., and we sat with some great Americans like Jeff Clark, Steve Friend, Garrett O'Boyle. We even sat with Chairman Jim Jordan. Those interviews are available on all of your favorite platforms. You can go back and take a look if you missed out on all of it. I got to say, the Jeff Clark interview is getting a lot of attention. So far, we've had over 600,000 views on that one alone. And it's where he called out former AG Bill Barr for not looking to investigate any election fraud and, in fact, shutting down investigations into election fraud. It is crazy. You got to go back and give it a look. Make sure you do. But we're getting ready to unpack another crazy show for you guys all tonight. So, you know, whenever we're going through all those crazy headlines, you got to head over to citizenfreepress.com. That's where I go to look at what's going on all around the country. And I'd highly recommend you do so as well. I wake up every morning and I head over to CFP. So right now I'm on the CFP website. And there's a couple of things that stand out to me. Number one, obviously you might have heard so far, but O.J. Simpson is dead at the age of 76. Now, this is, I guess, untragic news for most of us who know that he murdered his wife and another man. I do not feel any empathy. I do not feel bad for him. It should have happened sooner. He's a horrible person. He should have spent time in prison for what he did, but he did not. We all know that he did it, but unfortunately a jury was so hot and heavy for racial tensions again at the time that they let him off. And they've openly admitted that too. This previous interviews and Wokeness actually published a clip of one of the individuals who was on the jury going out there and just openly saying that because, you know, Nicole, his wife, was white, that's why he was acquitted. And it's disgusting. It's disgraceful. But it just describes what kind of, you know, world we live in these days. People just don't seem to care. So now that OJ has died, you just hope that God handles that one, because he never, ever had to answer any questions regarding what happened to his wife and that man. And it's unfortunate, of course, but it's a sigh of relief. Now he's dead, and that's the good news. And he died of cancer, apparently. So it is what it is. Goodbye, OJ. All right, next one up. Sorry, guys. I know that sounds mean, but the reality is he's a horrible human being. Let's head back over to the CFP website. That's where you're going to see that Governor Ron DeSantis, my governor, is actually going to be helping President Trump fundraise. And there's no surprise here. I don't think there's really bad blood to the point where, and this, I'll be very specific about this, to the point where he doesn't want to see President Trump make it into the White House, because we all do. Doesn't matter what side you were on during the primaries. That's what primaries are for. You got to find middle ground. You got to come back into the middle. And so I'm excited to see that Governor Ron DeSantis is privately telling donors that he intends on helping the president fundraise. That's very important. Now, this story comes, they say, there's three sources familiar with the matter who come in and are reporting on this right now. And this was said during a private gathering here in South Florida at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. So it's very interesting. He apparently said this in front of a group of people. And so we'll see how it plays out, because ultimately we have to all get together and go and win in November. We need all hands on deck for that. Let's jump back over to Citizen Free Press, because another very interesting story. This one, again, of course, folks, has to do with Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner's daughter, her biological daughter, now coming out as trans. This 15-year-old girl is now claiming to be the name Finn and had a buzz cut and a black pantsuit at a memorial service for her grandfather. And so ultimately, you know, it looks like this young woman is now coming out at the age of 15 as transgender, which is sad to see. And we hope that she doesn't make any life-changing alterations to her body, because, well, those are irreversible. Most people look at this picture. It's heartbreaking, but they don't actually stick it out. So most kids don't understand what they're doing. And so I hope that she is not getting any types of hormone therapies and any types of surgery or operations. And this young woman thinks about it before she does, because, well, once you do, there's no going back. And I think the pressure, especially living in California and living in a liberal cesspool and living with all these Hollywood elites, you tend to not make rational decisions. And so let's just hope that this young woman does not do so. She's only 15 years old. So spare your harsh criticism for her and just hope for the best for this young woman. And that's what's going on over at citizenfreepress.com. There's so many headlines right now, folks. You got to head over to citizenfreepress.com. Take a look. There's so much going on. It's the only place that really condenses everything and adds a little bit of a twist of humor. You know, Kanan and his staff, they love getting headlines, but making them, you know, humorous, laughable. And it's really important to laugh these days because, well, there's so much sadness going on in the news cycle. So head over there to citizenfreepress.com. Every morning I wake up to it. You should too. They're all working super, super hard at making sure they give you the very, very latest. So again, folks, it's citizenfreepress.com. And we'll be right back. We've got a jam-packed program for you guys tonight. You don't want to miss out. So we'll be right back after this quick break. Gigaderm is all natural products. I use it twice a day. I use it in the morning, and I also use it before I go to bed. And if you're looking to also improve your under eye a little bit, I've got to recommend this one for you too. It's also on Gigaderm's website right now. It is the eye cream. It's incredible. I use this under my eyes as well at nighttime. I love it. You don't put that much. Literally, a very, very small amount will do a lot. So that little amount got both of my eyes. And it's incredible. I definitely noticed the dark circles under my eyes have significantly gotten lighter, which is super important. And the creases as well, between this and the five step system that I use, it's been incredible for my skin. So I highly recommend, if you're gonna get the 5-step system, definitely add this one on. It's a great one. It's the eye cream, and it's another one that I highly recommend. You have to get this product. Click down the link below. Gigaderm is the product name, and the promo code for 10% off right now is Brianna. Democrats have found their new poster boy heading into the November election. His name is Dexter Reed. Dexter was fatally shot by Chicago police after he opened fire on law enforcement. Now, they won't tell you that, of course. They're more concerned that police returned fire because, well, they gave him about 96 bullets. But they won't tell you exactly who Dexter is or, you know, that he shot at police 11 times and hit an officer. So let's watch the body cam footage, and then let's discuss it on the other end of that.
Unlock the doors now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Open the door now. Officer 4 David, shots fired, shots fired.
Now, as you saw there, that was Dexter Reed being pulled over by police, and it was apparently over a seatbelt violation. But when Dexter opened fire on law enforcement, they returned fire. And as you saw towards the end of that video, Dexter somehow, even after they started putting, you know, shooting their guns in his direction, he actually was able to get out of the driver's seat and make his way around the vehicle. And that's the reason why officers continued to open fire. But you won't hear the truth about any of this, not from the media, not from Democrats. or not from his own mother, who sees that he did no wrong. Take a listen.
He had just bought his new car 3 days before that, and he was just riding around in his car. He said, "Mom, going for a ride," and they killed him.
You get extra points for the fake fainting at the end of that. But listen, guys, the reality is he is not just a boy who was driving around in his car. He is somebody who is, first off, 26 years old. They're using old photos of him, of course, from his high school years. But he is a 26-year-old man who opened fire on law enforcement. He actually shot a police officer. So that fake little feint you saw there really doesn't highlight the level of disgustingness that that man committed. He had no problem trying to take out a Chicago police officer that day. He made that decision. But if you turn over to the Chicago mayor, who many of you know is a communist, he actually doesn't even think that he did anything wrong, that the suspect did anything wrong. Mayor Brandon Johnson is his name. He went on air and literally said this.
In Chicago, I'm personally devastated to see yet another young black man lose his life during an interaction with the police. Our heart breaks for the family of Dexter Reed.
Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson obviously sitting there and playing up the narrative as if this was just a, you know, police shooting that involved an innocent man. No, what he won't tell you is that man shot 11 times at police officers, shooting one of them in the arm. And well, he doesn't want you to find out about that, of course, because we're heading into an election in November, and they love drumming up the racial tensions in this country. This happens every year when we have a major election. As many of you guys know, they did it with George Floyd. They buried the truth, and they're doing it now in Chicago. But it's important to understand that outlets like CNN are running old photos of Dexter. They're running photos of him from his high school graduation, it looks like. Photos that are from years ago. Look at this. This is a photo that came out by the law firm. The law firm pushed this image out. Of course, CNN's using it because he looks like an innocent young man. But in fact, he's 26 years old at the time of his death. 26 years old. But if they wanted to go with the recent photo of Dexter, all they had to do was use his mugshot. It's only about 5 months old. That would be the good one to put out there. But of course, they chose not to because it doesn't play into their narrative. Now, it's important to understand that Dexter was actually out. And well, he was out because he was charged just months prior with having a gun. Those charges were still pending. But none of this surprises you. Of course, this is what a liberal wasteland looks like. There's tons of gun violence. They target police. The politicians downplay the criminals and their role in all of this. It's really no surprise here. Now, if you go to the Washington Post, folks, that article is pretty egregious in itself. Because for the first 8 paragraphs, they won't tell you that Dexter opened fire on law enforcement at first. No, no, no. They say police fired 96 shots in 41 seconds, killing black man during traffic stop. Again, drumming up racial tensions. I gotta tell you, folks, if I were to open fire on law enforcement when they're just trying to simply pull me over to discuss why I don't have a seatbelt on, I'm not opening fire on law enforcement. And if I were to open fire on law enforcement, guess what? I'd expect that they'd kill me then and there. It's not a race issue. What it is an individual who should have acted calmly, kept his hands on the steering wheel, and not reached for a gun, not opened fire on law enforcement, not opened fire 11 times. But we can't talk about that. Of course, we've got to continue going through this. And the best part is Twitter now, since obviously Elon Musk took over, Twitter is refusing to allow them to keep spinning this narrative thanks to community notes. And you'll see that they actually are the ones checking folks who are improperly representing what took place that day. Again, admitting that he did, in fact, Dexter Reed, open fire on law enforcement first. So again, they don't want anyone to defend themselves. They want you to allow all of these criminals to go wild and do whatever they want to do because they're the victims, not you. If police lost one of their officers that day, guess what? Nobody would have cared. CNN, The Washington Post, MSNBC, none of them would have ran the story. They don't give a rat's ass about the innocent. They only care about the criminals. And that's the reality that we live in right now in our country. Now, it's important to understand just the key facts, folks. This is how we break down their narrative. Remind your family members, the ones you don't agree with politically, when they see this story, don't get upset. Number one, he opened fire on law enforcement first. Number two, he shot at them 11 times. Number three, he hit an officer with one of his bullets. Okay. So you can't sit there and say that it was innocent. He was shooting there. He wasn't. He was shooting at law enforcement. And number four, he was out on a right on another criminal charge. This is not somebody who was just trying to defend himself, was worried for his life. This is somebody who is, in fact, a criminal. And his mom won't tell you that. His family members won't tell you that because, well, now they're looking for a massive settlement from the city of Chicago. And so they're going to keep pushing and they're going to keep drumming up this racial tension narrative because they're going to hope that's going to piss off the American people enough where they pour out into the streets and they do another summer of love. So if you're looking to avoid getting into a shootout with law enforcement, let me just give you some advice. Don't open fire on police first. Don't have a gun on you and then show it off in front of law enforcement. Be calm, be respectful, and do as you're told. And that's the best way to make sure that you won't end up in a situation like this. It's common sense, folks. Nothing else about it. Okay. Almost sneezed. Nineteen brave House Republicans yesterday did something very important that you have to be paying attention to. They now have negotiated or pushed forward negotiations because they voted to hold up what is called the procedure vote for FISA. And many of you know, we talked about it on the show. We had Chairman Jim Jordan on this show to discuss it. That is FISA is about to be up for reauthorization. It expires April 19th. And so the House is pushing this forward. Now, there were several things that were wrong with all of this. And because of those 19 brave men and women who refused to comply with Mike Johnson, Speaker Mike Johnson, now they all have a seat at the negotiations table. And that's why this is so important. So let me walk you through this. Now, many of you guys know FISA has been used to spy on Americans. They'll deny it. You know, people like Congressman Dan Crenshaw will tell you that it's only used on foreign enemies. It's not. It's used on Americans. We know there was over 3.4 million Americans who, well, had their communications spied on, and there was no warrants for any of that. Now, we also know that FISA was used on 19,000 Americans, congressional candidates and their donors. We also know that 278,000 searches, improper searches, were done on American citizens as well. And so what does this mean as a whole? Well, it means that our federal government, obviously, as you know, is weaponized against us, and they're using FISA to go around our Fourth Amendment rights. And that's very, very concerning for most of us, obviously. What's even more concerning is the people that are pushing the reauthorization of FISA. They want us to just give up all of our constitutional rights and pretend like the government's not spying on you. And a new Fox News opinion piece was pretty disgraceful. But you'll notice in this piece, it's written by, well, people who you and I probably aren't very fond of these days. People like former Attorney General Bill Barr and Mike Pompeo, they're all pushing this forward. They say Congress cannot let FISA Section 702 expire, of course. And then they go on and saying that Congress must reauthorize it and its reformed version. Now, speaking of reformed version, members of Congress are claiming that there are reforms that were made. They include about 53 reforms. And they say that now, of course, with these 53 reforms, that everything's okay. The government's not going to be spying on Americans and abusing their power. We all know that is false, not true, but they'll try to do it anyway. And joining us now to discuss all of this is Congressman Tim Burchett. He is from the great state of Tennessee, and he sits on both the Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee. Congressman, thank you for joining us today. I know it's been a crazy day, so we appreciate your time. I wanted to jump in on this because I thought this whole FISA thing is very, very important, and so many Americans are concerned. But they're really more concerned with the fact that when we elect representatives to represent us in Washington, D.C., we're not electing them to waive our constitutional rights, specifically the Fourth Amendment. And so it was refreshing to see you and 18 other House Republicans hold the line on all of this. What's been your takeaway from all of this so far? Because it's been a crazy day. There's so many updates that we just went through. So what's the biggest takeaway you have so far?
Well, what we did was we took down the rule, which is a procedural vote, and it didn't allow the vote to go further because we were upset, first of all, with FISA, 278,000 violations in 2021 alone. We all know the history of that and how it's used to backdoor spying on Americans. And, you know, and I was told by the State Department that by an assistant secretary at the State Department, when they called me to lobby me, which I'm not sure if that's even legal, that warrants were problematic. So there's a real question there of what's going on. Now, there's been a lot of developments and there's a lot of things breaking. I'm not sure exactly where I will be tomorrow on this bill because of the changes. They're that substantial, and what we did worked, because before the process was not working. We were not allowed amendments. We weren't allowed to debate. And that's part of the problem with this place up here, that you got a few old, frankly, people that ain't heard the gun go off since the 70s and, you know, making decisions for the rest of us, a bunch of old men sitting in a room, the Uniparty. Yeah. And then, you know, both parties are involved in it, and they cut the deal, and then the rest of us are just supposed to soak it up, or suck it up, as the case may be. And so hopefully we've got something working there. We cut it down to 2 years. There's going to be a vote on the Fourth Amendment portion of it, and of course warrants. So if we can get some of that in there, I might hold my nose and vote for it, as a few others have said they would as well. Just we got to, but I think what we've proven is the conservatives stuck together and we caused some effective change.
I think that's what's really important here, right? Because ultimately they're labeling this as like dysfunction within the party, but it's not. You need to be able to negotiate these key points. And when you do hold the line, and 19 of you did, that's when you get to the table and they need to negotiate with you. I know, you know, we spoke about it, but the Speaker and President Trump are expected to announce potentially renewing this and reauthorizing it every 2 years, which would be a great add-on. But the Speaker also spoke to the media earlier today, and he kind of detailed that he's had a change in, I guess, just how he views FISA as a whole. Let's take a listen.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You got to be fully informed.
Have you been informed?
Excuse me.
Okay, so the Speaker is saying that his perspective on all of this has since changed. You know, you sit on the Oversight and Foreign Affairs Committee. Have you seen anything that kind of backs what he's saying, that perspective could change on all of this? Because most Americans are upset because it does violate our constitutional rights because they're using it to surveil on Americans.
Absolutely, absolutely. And they always bring this stuff up, you know, and I guess I'm just skeptical of the intelligence community in general. And this whole bunch up here. I'm skeptical of everybody but me. Yeah. And you. And I'm a little bit skeptical of you, ma'am.
That's fair.
Yeah, I'm just kidding you, ma'am. No, but I am skeptical of him. I'm not a trained attorney like the Speaker is. You know, he's a constitutional law guy, and that's obviously not my background. But yeah. I, when they have 278,000 violations that we know of, and there's possibly millions the year before because we slapped their hand and then we caught them at 278,000. You know, I just, you know, somebody working on your house, you have a contractor out there. This is how it happened, how easy it can happen. You have a contractor and say the government wants to look at you, but knows they can't get a search warrant. So what do? They, you know, you call this guy who's working on your roof, or he calls you on his cell phone and says, "Hey, I got to get some more shingles." And you go, "Oh, okay." Well, they don't have to get a FISA warrant to go after him. And since he talked to you, that, you know, that's just about as easy as it happens. And they're crafty at it. And when they're grabbing bad guys, that's great, you know, but when they're getting on, you know, coming after Americans, honest Americans, or just doing a fishing expedition, that scares the hell out of me, ma'am. Excuse my language, but the more and more I delve into this, the more scared I am of our own government. And to me, that's the sad state of affairs.
Well, we cover this all the time on this program, the weaponization of our federal government. So it does scare me. And I think that's why so many people are alarmed by all of this and are concerned. But thankfully, we have people like you, Congressman, who are holding the line and going to make sure that they do add things to it that make it, you know, a little bit easier for the rest of us to deal with. Because we know it's going to get reauthorized. It's just a matter of what goes into it at this point. So yeah, we appreciate
it. You're right. It will get it reauthorized. I think it will. And, you know, we can stay on the ground and cuss it and just let it ride by, or we can do what we can to make it a better for America. And I'm hoping to make it better for America. I hope it's something that we get that I could vote for, but if not, I won't. So
yeah, that's refreshing to hear. I wanted to ask you one more quick question before you go. So I know you're busy, but yes. There was the exemptions added for members of Congress for them to be kind of flagged when a member of Congress is being surveilled through FISA. Is that still going to make its way into the final round of all these negotiations? Because, you know, why is Congress getting those exemptions?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I don't like that at all. I think that stinks. And I'd actually forgotten about that. I'm going to make a note to inquire about that one. Thank you, Brianna, for bringing that up. You might have put me back in the no column.
Well, that's my job. No, I'm kidding. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We know you're very, very busy, so thank you. Sound Investigation has dropped a little bombshell story, which shows a CIA contractor admitting that, well, the CIA sets Americans up, but mainly journalists like Alex Jones or Tucker Carlson, just because they don't like what you have to say. Let's take a listen.
It's embellished a little bit.
Who would be like a big influencer that you're after? I don't even know these names. Like a Fox News person or like a Tucker Carlson or like.
I'm sure he's in. Right. You always want the biggest and loudest. Like that. What was his name? The one that said. Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are? Are you still after him?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's broke. He got found guilty and had to pay like $100 million.
So what? Why were you after him?
We're not anymore.
Just to get the money from him?
Yeah.
Was that court case used? Was that a CIA?
Sure was.
That was the agency thing?
Well, actually it was a defamation case. Mm. So it's a civil, not government. But we were looking at all of his followers, commenting, following, like, who's up in the latest, right? So even though it's technically not not the agency, definitely, but the Bureau, for instance, yeah, it's not our purview. It's a civil matter. But since they got all this access to his stuff, and it's there, what can we go find?
And did you find it?
I can't tell you.
Oh, we did.
But.
Strange. Joining us now to discuss is War Room host Owen Schroyer. Owen, thank you for jumping on with us today. I just wanted to check in with you. How is Alex doing after this story was released? Because, you know, what was said during this, you know, recording is quite disturbing.
Well, I don't know. He's Alex Jones, so he can be like a bull in a china shop, and he seems to be just ramming right through this, and he's just powered up and done about 10 different interviews addressing this and obviously made headlines discussing potential lawsuits against these institutions involved violating his civil rights. But, you know, I think what's so incredible about this, and I can get into some specifics here, but generally speaking, when we hear this guy talking about cutting our legs off, getting all of our money, it's hard for people to really comprehend how real that is for us, truly. And we often talk about when the stuff you see in public is just the tip of the iceberg in what InfoWars or Alex deals with, or even myself personally. And that's been true for most of the past, but people are really starting to see the full iceberg for what it is now. And we still don't have full vision of it. And there's a lot of stuff that still goes on here that we don't even talk about, because even talking about it, I feel like gives our enemies a victory. But I mean, the stuff that they come after us with to take all of our money, to try to get us shut down, to try to keep us embattled with lawfare 24/7, like they do with Donald Trump. To hear that coming from a CIA guy, it really hits home. I mean, these people really do want to destroy us. They really try to take all of our money. They really do try to take all of our, they try to cut our legs off. Like if you're a sprinter about to sprint in the Olympics and your opposition comes and chops your legs off. I mean, so that's literally what they do to us. Now, in regards to this individual, who knows what he actually has access to? Yeah. I doubt he was ever in a surveillance van. His credentials would suggest he wasn't. His credentials would suggest he's kind of a low-level desk jockey. Now, he might have seen some things. He might have had access to some things. When you work with these government institutions, you do get, you know, you can see classified documents. You do get clearances. Even janitors get clearances because they empty out their trash and stuff. So I'm sure he did have a clearance. Now, what was he directly involved in? What direct knowledge did he have? I think that's a bit of a mystery. My guess is he's probably just up there bloviating, thinking he's going to impress his grinder date with all of this stuff. But we need to know that. We need to know that. He needs to be subpoenaed and he needs to testify under oath in front of Congress because he says some very important things. I mean, imagine if the U.S. government can influence people to sue opposition or sue journalists and try to quote unquote cut their legs off or take all their money. I mean, this is a serious thing. Whether this guy was directly involved with it or not, we need to know. We need to get down to the bottom of it. And whether he was or not, I'm guessing somebody was. Otherwise, he wouldn't be talking about it. But he also talks about the Bureau being behind rallies that turn into riots, kind of a serious thing. He talks about the ability to put anyone in jail. That's kind of a serious thing. He talks about looking into Alex's followers. So what? You're on an InfoWars email list? You tune into an InfoWars broadcast? All of a sudden, the government is spying on you? They even mentioned Donald Trump, how they tried to set him up. Was he talking about January 6th? So again, whether what he says is legitimate as far as his own experience or involvement is probably fair to question. But nonetheless, these answers need to be had. He needs to be sat down in front of Congress under oath. And by the way, it's not just Oblinus. It's everyone else that's been caught by Project Veritas. It's everyone else that's been caught by the O'Keefe Media Group. They all need to be testifying under oath in front of Congress. And it's really pathetic that so far, none of them have ever had to.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Congressman Troy Nell spoke about this actually with Benny Johnson, and he says that he's ready to start subpoenaing these folks. Let's take a listen.
And others, and Alex Jones, if you're listening, Alex Jones, you have a right to be a little bit flustered, right? Your feathers should be flustered right now with what that agent, that former CIA guy or that CIA guy said about you. And same with Tucker. I'll tell you, go after him, go after him. This weaponization that the Republicans have said has happened with the DOJ, it's true, America. They're coming after Donald Trump. They're coming after anybody that's a mega movement individual. We got to push back. Let's win Trump 2020.
Just really quickly, since you brought it up, would you be in favor of subpoenas to figure out if this guy is telling the truth about Alex Jones, if they were targeted?
Listen, everybody says a lot of stuff up here, Betty. You say this, you say that. This guy, I kind of looked at the guy. He looked a little like he's a little different. But what I would do is I would try to verify what he said. And if it's true, and if it's accurate, I think Alex Jones should go after. They should go after the federal government without question. And I think Tucker and everybody else should do it. These are abuses that the American people will not tolerate. We will not tolerate these abuses by the DOJ.
Now, Owen, earlier this week, I actually sat down with Chairman Jim Jordan and I asked him, what can the Judiciary Committee do to hold the weaponization of our government accountable? And he just said more oversight. So are you hopeful that if Troy Nels gets his way, that there might be some type of actions taken by Congress to kind of hold the CIA accountable for things like this?
Well, let's just say I wouldn't bet on it. And I like Troy Nels. I think he's one of the good ones that we have in Congress. I really do believe that. But when he says the American people won't stand for this, they won't tolerate this, I sit there and I scratch my head and I say, oh, really? Since when? Since when do we not tolerate this? Since when do we hold these people accountable? Not once. I'm sorry. Checking my watch here. Still no subpoenas. Yeah. So I just don't buy it. And unfortunately, we get a lot of lip service. And unfortunately, we get a lot of suggestions and we get a lot of red meat and we get no action. We get no action. And so I like Jim Jordan. I think he cares about the issues. I like Troy Nels. There's some good guys that we finally have in there that maybe gives us some hope. And yet still nothing changes. And I guess that's ultimately our frustration here, isn't it? That's what frustrates us so much. How can this open criminal activity, how can this open corruption, how can this open civil rights violation, how can these just be going on in mass in Washington, D.C., and everyone knows about it? Mm-hmm. But a grandma that was there on January 6th is going to spend time in prison and not them. So, yeah, you know what, Troy? We are sick of it. We're sick of tolerating it. But it's not that there's any action that represents our frustration. It's the inaction that is causing our frustration.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a big issue here. And it's interesting right now because they're all talking about FISA, and only 19 House Republicans are brave enough to stand up to all of these rhinos right now looking to give government access to surveil us illegally. And they have no problem with it. So we sit here, we do all this oversight, but nothing really comes of it. And they just sign off on our, you know, our constitutional rights being violated by the federal government all the time. So it's all deeply concerning. Owen Schroyer, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Brianna.
And if you enjoyed that interview, make sure you guys hit that subscribe button right now. And if you're watching on Rumble or YouTube or any of the popular podcasting platforms, leave us some feedback. We love hearing from you, the audience, and obviously we are a newer show. So let us know how we're doing. Drop a comment, of course, and give us a thumbs up and a five-star review. We really appreciate you do that for every single episode. So it's really important that you do it. It helps with our algorithm as well. And if you're looking to support our show, there is only one way that we prefer you do so, and that's over at supportbree.com. That's where you can place either a one-time donation or you guys can make a monthly donation, and it's at any dollar amount you'd like. So head over to supportbree.com if you want to support independent journalists like myself. We'll be right back. You guys, I've said it once before, so I'm going to say it again. And under the Biden regime, I've never been more worried about my financial future. I called my good friend, Dr. Kirk Elliott, because I wanted to come up with a plan put in place to make sure I was secure. And he came with a plan for me to invest in silver.
I'm rich.
I've got my silver. I'm feeling so much better about my future. I highly recommend you give him a call and just chat with his team. 720-605-3900. Now, you could also head over to his website if you'd like to schedule an appointment. It's KirkElliottPhD.com/Brianna. There's a new piece of legislation making its way over to the U.S. Senate. It passed in the House. It's called the Explorer Act. And well, it's bipartisan, so they're going to tell you this is a good thing for America. But there are some folks that are a little skeptical, of course, because, well, they believe this will increase the amount of EMF exposure that we're obviously all exposed to every single day. Joining me to discuss is Gina Paith. She is the founder of RedemptionShield.com. Gina, thank you for joining us. This is something that you're very passionate about, of course. We see these big pieces of legislation getting pushed through. And well, it's not always good news, although the name sounds good. So tell us a little bit about the Explorer Act.
Well, this is it looks really good on the outside. You know, it's bipartisan. They're making more access to parks, less fees. They're also doing more handicap things. So there's lots of little great things about this Explore Act. But the problem is what it's going to do is it's going to allow more exposure to EMF. There's a Subtitle D, which is essentially it's showing people that we can put up cell towers if we need them. We can, you know, use broadband anywhere we like. And it just opens the door for more of this to go into our national parks. And it's quite devastating when you think about it. The problem is, Bree, is that there's so many people who don't know about this. And so we're kind of fighting education, you know, trying to educate really quickly so that senators and congressmen can know about this, because this is something that's been ignored for the most part in our public.
Yeah. And we know that we're constantly being exposed to all of these, you know, EMF radiation and whatnot. And it's so disheartening to see that they just continue to just ignore the risks involved in all of this and just keep pushing this stuff forward. So this is something we're going to keep our eye on. Your suggestion as for a call of action on this is for our audience to contact their senators. Is that correct?
Yes, please do. And let them know we need to send this back to the House to be amended. We don't need cell towers. We don't need an expansion of broadband in our national forests and parks and in federal lands. So if you can today, get on the phone, make your calls, let your senators know this is not good. There are many things good in the act, but this does need to get sent back. And I just hope that we can move fast enough to let our senators know so this doesn't get pushed through.
Yeah, yeah. And we hope that is the case. Now, I wanted to talk about solutions for this problem because, well, let's be honest, they honestly have put up all of these cell towers all over the country. They used the pandemic as a way to kind of push it through when nobody was paying attention because our focus was elsewhere. And so now right. We do have this exposure. Yeah, we do have this exposure right now to EMF. And so your website is a solution for just that. You offer all these really cute accessories, and then you offer like everyday practical things that you could have in your home. So let's talk about what's available right now on redemptionshield.com. Some of our favorites, of course, are the mats that I could put under my dog bed. My pups love them, of course. You've also got these grounding mats as well for the beds. So detail some of your top favorites and kind of walk our audience through the importance of them.
Yeah, so grounding is essential now with all of the EMF that we're surrounded by and with devices like measuring RF radiation. These are devices that are critical now because, and I have three just right here, I have different styles, and I can measure my home to see how bad the EMF is in my house. And because of that, I do need to be grounded. And all of us really need to have grounding mats near our electronics so we're grounded when we're on our computers. And then we also want to be grounded when we're sleeping. And so pets love grounding. Your dogs love grounding. You can get these computer mats. You can get different size mats for your bed. And these just plug right into the third round hole in your outlet, and they ground you. So essentially, they take the electricity out of your body. So I'm going to show you real quick how that works. I can measure the electricity in my body by using just a simple multimeter. And I like this meter because it's just very simple. You just choose the AC voltage, and I'm going to hold the red probe. And right now I have 2.6 volts running through my body. And now when I touch my mat, all of that just left my body. So
incredible.
You'll find that you sleep so much better at night. Your animals are feeling much better. They will gravitate to the mats just from grounding. So it's really amazing, but we have grounding bed sheets and all of our canopies that go over your beds, those are all grounded. The reason we do this is because grounding releases electrons out of your body and it just causes healing. So a natural healing, so you're not having to take prescription medications.
I love that. This is so great. I mean, I remember you telling us the story of the boy with ADHD and who needed to ground to, you know, kind of alleviate a lot of the symptoms of just that. And I think this is really important because so many Americans are being diagnosed and being turned to big pharma when big pharma is not the solution. This is a realistic solution for so many. I mean, we talk about getting a good night's rest. So many of us can't do that these days because of we're around our Wi-Fi, we're around so many electronics, we sleep with our cell phones next to us, but you've got solutions for all of that as well. Is that right?
Yeah. And, you know, as far as, you know, your electronics, we have bags that you can put your cell phone, your cell phones inside when you're carrying them, when you're walking your dogs, you can use the fanny pack that goes over your shoulder. And this has a military grade fabric inside that blocks the EMF radiation that's coming off of your electronics. So grounding. And then you've got shielding products, but we also have, which is a favorite of many of our customers, is the Wi-Fi router cover. And this is just made of a copper material, and this just drops right over your router, and it minimizes or blocks some of that output. You know, sometimes we're thinking we need faster and faster, but our bodies just don't do well with that, and we end up you know, not sleeping well at night. So this is one of those solutions to mitigate the frequencies off of your Wi-Fi router. Now, and just to let you know, this is just right here, you know, isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
And you're just hearing it everywhere because I have Wi-Fi running right now. But typically I use my Ethernet to run my electronics now because I'm sensitive to electronics. And so I, as soon as I'm done with the podcast today, I turn off my Wi-Fi. But you can, many of you don't have that option. And so I really do recommend the Wi-Fi router cover is amazing. And that will help block some of those frequencies. So do you want to see how, what it does with the router cover?
Okay. No, I love these. So, yes.
It's pretty bad right now.
Yeah. And it's quiet. Yeah. So those of you listening on audio, yeah, you heard the frequency when it was, there was nothing over it. And then when she covers it, you heard nothing because, well, it's, it eliminates that. And that's what's so incredible about these products is just, it's just, it's amazing to continue to see. I mean, I love seeing this. I told you this is my favorite part of the segment is watching you test it out because it's so crazy to think that this is what's going on around us and we don't even notice it. Gina, I want to tell our audience too, you're doing something amazing right now. Just for our audience for listening to the segment, you're giving them 10% off with the promo code BREE. That's B-R-E. And just to inform you all too, there's sales going on right now. You could still use that 10% off on the sale prices as well. So again, if you want 10% off, it's Bree, B-R-E. You got to head over to the website. Take a look. There's so many cute things. You've got hats. You've got so many cool things, scarves. There's so many cool things to look at and to take advantage of right now. I'm a big fan, especially because, you know, we just started baseball season and you got these really cool baseball hats that I'm a big fan of up on redemptionshield.com. So again, folks, you could use the promo code BREE. That's just exclusively for listening today. And you get that 10% off on top of all of those great sale prices. Gina, I always learn so much from you when you come on. So thank you.
Thank you.
It is now time for your economic update. And there's good news for all of our silver investors. I know I'm one. So Dr. Kirk Elliott, what's going on?
This week, oh my goodness. So it was about 6 weeks ago that we were talking about how silver was about to actually really start moving like quick. So when we look at where the price action was, it was in the $23, $24 range, and it was coming down. It was actually coming down that week, and 22 was a major technical floor. So, and we talked about this on the commentary here, that if it dipped below 22 and it kept going, it could actually go down quite a bit. However, if it hit 22 and it bounced up, that major resistance point would act like a trampoline and start moving it forward. Well, that's exactly what happened. And that's what we talked about would happen. So then it went up to about 25. And over time, 25 has been a major ceiling on the price of silver. So it was actually where 25 was, is the 15 year moving average, right? 15 years. So that's a strong trend line. And about three or four times it hit 25, came down, hit 25, came down, hit 25. If it surpassed 25, that would make our old ceiling our new floor. And we talked about this, right? So it blasted past that. It just kept going and going and going. So now, as I talk, silver's at 28.20. So remember, about 6 weeks ago, it's up a good $2 or $3 in the last 6 weeks. I mean, incredible price action. Once it bounced off that 25, it's up over $3 in just a 6 week time frame. That's incredible. So now you have a small resistance point at 32. And then the next one is at 48.50-ish. It's old high. And after that, sky's the limit. There is no resistance. Now, I'm not a technical trader. I look at the charts because some of my technical traders say, Kirk, you've got to look at this. We've got a 44-year like cup and handle pattern or whatever. And technically speaking, the technicals are lining up with the fundamentals. The fundamentals are inflationary pressures, unsustainable debt, the chaos, everything that we're seeing, supply and demand. And we've got confirmation of both, of technicals and fundamentals at the same time. This is incredible for the price of silver moving forward. So just this morning, I was reading some research. COMEX inventories, COMEX, you know, the where all the silver is, you know, sourced globally, their inventories are down 70% in the last 18 months. 70% in 18 months. That means it's coming down at about 3.88% a month. There's 30% left. Gives us like 8 or 9 months, technically, for silver to possibly run out on a global scale. Now, what's the reason for that increased demand? Mostly solar, the new solar initiatives, the green initiatives globally are causing that excess demand in addition to aerospace, Department of Defense, everything else that is normally there. So good grief. We are entering a point. Everything we've been talking about for years is happening right underneath our nose. So I would encourage everybody to allocate into the strength. This trend should take us really far and probably quite fast would be my guess. If you've got COMEX supplies, you know, projections are on this trend. It could extinguish itself in the next 8 months. Wow. So now you've got more fundamental forces that are actually taking place. I've been talking for the last few months about how the Fed is not going to lower rates anytime real soon because they don't know what to do. They're in a pickle, right? So the pickle is you lower rates like they say they're going to do because they've won the battle against inflation. No, they haven't. If they won the battle against inflation, they would actually lower them like they promised 6 months ago. But instead, we've had month after month after month after month, 6 months in a row of just pausing interest rates. So if you raise interest rates to slow down inflation, you put the economy into a huge recession or depression because we're already tapped out with our debt. And raising interest rates is going to be very problematic. You lower interest rates and inflation goes through the roof. Huge pickle, right? So they don't want either one. So therefore, the Fed is just pausing and they're standing still, which is exactly what I said was going to happen because it's not rocket science, right? So when you understand how they work, but they have to have one, I believe, rate cut so they can actually save face. So now there's infighting with the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve, you know, the banks, you've got like Kansas City, Dallas, Minneapolis, Atlanta, whatever, all the Federal Reserve banks that encompass the bank presidents there and the Board of Governors for the Fed, there's infighting starting to happen. So Jerome Powell was speaking at Stanford last week, and he's holding true to his stupid, you know, we're winning this thing, and we can lower rates another 2 to 3 times this year, but there's this inflationary problem. You know, maybe we will have to pause, but he's still holding pretty true to 2 to 3 rate cuts. Now, Federal Reserve President Bostic out of Atlanta said, we're going to probably have just one rate cut and it's going to be in the fourth quarter of this year. That's what I think is going to happen because they'll have the rate cut right before the election to get votes and say, look, they're winning this thing on inflation. The bankers are really smart. The economy's in control. They're able to lower rates right before the election when everybody needs to vote. But prior to them, they're not going to. Now, you've got other Federal Reserve presidents, like in Minneapolis, Neel Kashkari. What did he say? We're not going to be able to lower interest rates at all, like at all. So, and then there's comments out of the Federal Reserve out of Dallas. And it's like, man, there's infighting. They're not in accord with Jerome Powell, which means what? Have you ever watched a like old WWE wrestling, you know, like these big mayhem where you have all the wrestlers in there at one time and they all start pounding on one person and everyone starts teaming up and the person who is supposed to win ultimately loses. And, you know, so that's how I see this. You know, Jerome Powell is one guy. He happens to be the chairman of the Fed, but you've got all the voting bank presidents that are now saying we can't lower rates because we haven't won this battle against inflation. That's what I think is going to win out, right? So what does that mean? That means that inflation is going to persist. The markets are going to not do well. And so the manipulation and the lies coming out of the Fed are becoming a little bit extreme. So the CPI numbers came out today and they said, ooh, went up a little bit, went up to 3.5% year over year. Okay. So they're saying that the economy is growing. Silly. The economy's not growing. They're using the wrong definition of why inflation is going up. Inflation's going up not because the economy is growing, but because they're printing a ton of money. There's two reasons why you could have inflation. One, a growing economy, which we do not have. The other one is printing of money incessantly, which we do have, right? But because that inflationary pressure is higher than expected, they're going to pause rates again. They're not going to lower them because inflation is persisting. So therefore, you have one bank president says, we're actually going to have to raise interest rates. And a big major bank, I can't remember if it was Citi or Bank of America, said the same thing. We're going to have to start raising rates, not lowering them or pausing them. So here's the dilemma. Massive banking uncertainty. With this uncertainty and keeping rates at these high levels puts more pressure on banks. As people are tapped out, they're going to have delinquencies on their payoffs, on their loan payments, and ultimately that's going to end in default. I'm seeing bank failures on steroids coming, right? So now you've also got big, huge, not told news this week, but it's massive to me, where Congress had a FOIA, a Freedom of Information Act request to the Fed that said, tell us what countries are repatriating their gold and pulling gold out of reserves out of the Fed. You know what Jerome Powell did? He thumbed his nose at him and said, we're not giving you that information. It's like, what? You're defying a Congressional Freedom of Information Act request? It's like, who are you? One of the Biden family, for crying out loud? So they're not telling. They don't want to tell because they don't want the world to know that all these countries are repatriating their gold. They don't have very much. And why are countries repatriating their gold? They're afraid of the weaponization of the dollar. When Biden put economic sanctions on Putin and Russia because of the Ukrainian conflict, well, now the other countries of the world are saying, we don't want our assets frozen. We're taking our gold back, right? And central bank after central bank after central bank is amassing thousands of tons of gold. You look at what's happened since April. China has increased their gold holdings by 160 tons. What about the United States? Minus 134. So there's an exodus of gold out of the Fed into the other countries. Watch the flow of gold. That's where power is going. And so as we see this, gold is now at all-time highs, and there's something very significant about this, okay? So there's been – when China now owns the majority of gold in the world, there's no – the West has lost their price suppression ability because the majority of gold is owned by China. So if there's no price suppression and they own the majority of gold, they're going to want the prices to go up. See, this is a paradigm shifting moment. And this is what's happened. This is why day after day after day after day, gold is hitting new all-time highs. Silver is outperforming. It's up 27% in the last 6 weeks. 27%. Holy smokes. I mean, this is really amazing what's happening. Just look at the growth of what we're seeing. And it's going to outperform. And the fact that COMEX inventories are down 70% over the last 18 months, this is the time for metals to shine. This is the time for us to be actively engaged in allocating into metals and take advantage of these trends so the trends don't take advantage of us. So anyways, it's my weekly commentary for the week. Silver, technically, fundamentally, in concert with each other, they're the puzzle pieces are being put together, and everything that we've been talking about for years is starting to happen. So those with patience, the patience is paying off in a big, big way, and it should continue to explode as inventories reduce, the tensions continue to escalate, the power shift from the West to the East is happening. Man, everything we've been talking about. So God bless you. Have a great week. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
I love hearing from Dr. Kirk Elliott. He's one of my favorite people to catch up with. He gives you the best financial advice, and he's always pushing out all of these insightful emails as well. And I love it so much. I actually am an investor right now in silver. It's what I've worked out with him. It's my plan to kind of protect my finances because you don't know what's really going to happen. But the good news is, obviously, of course, is that silver is up. And that's what's really, really important. So if you're looking to talk to Dr. Kirk Elliott or a member of his team, all you have to do is head over to BriannaGold.com. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A, gold.com, and fill out this information form. Somebody from his scheduling department will contact you and they'll set up an appointment so you could speak with a member of his team. And it's so easy to do, folks. So again, head over to BriannaGold.com. Fill out this form right here. It's very, very easy to do. And then somebody from his team will contact you and they will get down on all of your information. Again, folks, BriannaGold.com, and we'll be right back. I can't stop bragging about how my quality of sleep has completely changed since I've switched over to MyPillow Giza bed sheets. These sheets are incredible and you have to try them yourself. They're soft, they're thick. It's just a better quality of sleep and I am thrilled to tell everyone about it. I can't stop talking about it. These new sheets are incredible. So if you're interested in improving your sleep, you gotta head over to MyPillow.com. And if you're looking to secure up to 66% off, you gotta use promo code Brianna. That's promo code B-R-E-A-N-N-A. That's B-R-E-A-N-N-A. And you can only get it over at MyPillow.com. So if you're looking to improve your sleep, make sure you use promo code Brianna to secure your 60% off at MyPillow.com. Folks, I mean it when I say those bed sheets are the best bed sheets. I keep buying them for my friends and family, and they're loving them too. Now listen, if Brianna is a little hard for you to spell, you could actually use Brie as a promo code. That's B-R-E when checking out, and you're going to get the same discount, so up to 66% off. It's incredible. Head over to MyPillow.com and use promo code Brie. Get those bed sheets. I'm telling you, it's a total game changer. You won't regret it. So again, folks, it's MyPillow.com with promo code Brie. We'll be back here again tomorrow. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you again tomorrow. And if you enjoyed that segment, make sure you hit that like button. And if you want to see the news before it becomes the news, you have to subscribe to our channel. And well, if you have a liberal friend that you're looking to save, make sure you share this content with them.